Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. In the studio with me today for the broadcast is the co-host of the program, Dr. Les Olalot, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, it's always good to have you here.
Oh, it's so refreshing to be back in the studio together, and especially with the joy that we have today with Dr. Dreisbach.
I know we have a guest today, and Doc, why don't you take a minute and introduce Dr. Dreisbach? I know you've had a long friendship with him, and in fact, before we were on the air here, you were telling me your friendship goes all the way back to 1964.
Yes, at least my acquaintance with him goes back that far. My first contact with him as a medical doctor goes back to 1964. But the admiration from that point till now has grown and grown. We read biographies, and rarely Right. do we ever get a chance to walk with a living biography, and that's what we have today, an 85-year-old living biography. And the story is so phenomenal, of a life absolutely surrendered to God, a man with medical accolades that are quite impressive in the world standards, but yet you'll never meet a more humble man.
And, of course, we're talking about Dr. John Dreisbach, who's been a missionary for most of his adult life and certainly has a great heritage. Dr. Dreisbach, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
When did you first go to the mission field?
We were accepted as missionaries in 1947 and arrived on the mission field of Nigeria, West Africa, about 6 or 7 months later in 1948.
So, Doc, that's 60 years of missionary service.
Yes. When you stop to think, and the situations as we go through these broadcasts, the various places that he worked, but I think it would be interesting to hear, how did you particularly feel called to medicine and particularly to medical missions?
I come from a rather humble family, a very humble family. My father was a farmer, and I had an older brother who loved the Lord, desired to serve him as a medical missionary. He had completed his pre-medical training and had been accepted as a student at a prestigious medical school in the United States here when he was killed by lightning. And I, as a very young lad, felt that his calling, which he was unable to fulfill due to his death, was mine to accomplish. And that's how I felt called to medical missions.
Now, Dr. Dreisbach, you told that story earlier, and you mentioned that your father and your brother were both out working in a field when this happened.
My father was a diversified farmer, and among other things, he had a large cherry orchard. It was his custom in the late summer after he had harvested the fruit to spray the trees. And one late August afternoon, he and my brother were spraying the trees with a horse-drawn sprayer when a thunderstorm came up. And to get out of the rain, they pulled the team of horses and sprayer up in front of a little shed where they prepared the fruit for market. It had one of those doors that ran on a metal trolley. There was a single bolt of lightning, and it struck a tree beside the packing shed. Apparently, the power ran down the metal trolley, killed my father and brother, jumped across and killed one of the horses.
Wow. And you were 4 at the time, is that right?
I was 4 years old at that time. And from that time on, I've had no other desire but to be a medical missionary.
Why don't you give us some of your education background?
Well, I was born and raised near Findlay, Ohio. And after the death of my father, of course, my mother, widowed, had very little resources. So after the public schools of Findlay, I went to a local college in Findlay, a liberal arts college in Findlay, Ohio, and then on to medical school at Ohio State University. I graduated from Ohio State College of Medicine in 1946, and then In those days, every medical graduate was expected to take a 12-month internship. Knowing that I was going to be in the tropics, I wanted to have an internship where I would get as much tropical medicine experience as possible. And I chose to apply and was accepted at Gorgas Hospital in the Panama Canal Zone. It was well known as quite a center for the training in tropical medicine.
And then leprosy became quite a focus in your medical practice for many years. Did you begin the leprosy training there in the Panama?
Well, actually before, the Lord had impressed upon me the plight of those with leprosy, and I read what I could, medical textbooks, and at that time there was an American leprosarium in Carville, Louisiana, and on two different occasions during my junior and senior year in medical school, I traveled down from Ohio to Carville, Louisiana, and had there my first experience of seeing what the ravages that this disease could have on a human body. And that just increased my desire to reach out to these dear people. And then in Panama, as a part of my internship, I was allowed to take 1 month at the American Leprosarium. Having had that experience at the leprosarium, when I completed my training, the regular superintendent was due a stateside leave, and the medical authorities in the Canal Zone asked if I would consent to being interim superintendent of the leprosarium for about 6 months' time, which I was very happy to do. I was in the military at that time, but I was given privilege of having that extended experience at the American Leprosarium in the Canal Zone.
Dr. Dreisbach, the lepers back in that time were almost untouchables, weren't they, in the medical community?
Well, there's an awful lot of misunderstanding about leprosy. And in the minds of most people, leprosy was thought of as a highly contagious disease and to be shunned, and very few American doctors had ever seen a case themselves, so they knew very little about it. So, in a sense, it was shunned. But actually, of the communicable diseases, leprosy is perhaps one of the least contagious. Mm. But it, untreated, can wreak havoc to a human body.
And I think you became one of the leading world experts on leprosy, didn't you, in your time?
Well, I don't know about that there, but many people did come to my institution in Kano, Nigeria, for training in leprosy from all over the world, actually, and our work was viewed as one of the outstanding institutions for the treatment of leprosy worldwide.
It seems to me, I remember you getting an award, some type of an award for your work with leprosy.
Well, I was given the privilege of writing a chapter in the book that at that time was the main textbook on leprosy. As far as any award for work in leprosy, not really, other than that many people did recognize the excellence of the work that was being accomplished at our leprosy hospital and came there for training.
Now, God in His grace gave you an excellent wife. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how God brought your surgery partner in with you?
And that's a good description of Mrs. Dreisbach.
She was a wonderful woman. I took her out of West Virginia. She had a desire to excel in the sciences and had gone to a local community college where she could commute from her home and had taken all the courses that college offered in chemistry and physics, biology, the sciences. And having no further courses at that college, she transferred her last year of undergraduate studies to Ohio State University. And it was there on that campus that I met my wife-to-be. She, her first night on campus, on the weekend, I should say, came to a collegiate Bible study that I had been a part of from the onset of that group and was a very active member and an officer in the group. That night, it was our custom, it always was our custom, to introduce new visitors and ask what college they were in, what their major was, what their Christian experience had been, and what their goals in life were. And I had come into the meeting just a little bit late because of some responsibilities I had, but I came in and sat at the back of the room. This young lady stood up, gave a very clear, beautiful testimony of her salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And I had been praying for a number of years that God would give me a mate who was already called to missions before we ever met. And as a part of her testimony, she related how she felt called to medical missions, and that really rang a bell for me. And so after that meeting, we met, and that was the beginning of our relationship.
Amen.
That was quite an interesting. You married in Panama.
Yes, sir.
And tell us the vehicle that you used for your getaway car. I thought that was interesting.
Well, at the time of our marriage, I was, as I have indicated, the acting superintendent of the American Leprosarium, and the only vehicle that I had available to me was the Leprosarium ambulance. And so after our marriage, which was in the evening at a fundamental Baptist church in the Canal Zone, I took my bride to our honeymoon cottage in the Leprosarium ambulance, and we had our honeymoon in a Leprosarium.
Well, Dr. Dreisbach, it has been a delight to have you on the program today, and we are going to do several more broadcasts with you, and we're going to be delighted to have the opportunity to hear it. We would encourage you to let others know of this exciting testimony that we're hearing. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.